Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Trading and Commodity Summit. Thank you so much, David, for putting everything together. In today's presentation, I will talk mostly about commodities. I will touch base with some of the indices and some of the expected moves for 2021. This presentation is about commodity, a bull market. So what is 2020 going to look like? Is there a forecast, or is there any way that the technical levels are going to indicate whether the market is going to go higher or lower? And based on this year's trading activity and based on prior year's trading activity, because the commodity market has been pretty much dormant for the last, I would say, 50 years or so, and it just started to rev up again. Before we begin, please check out the risk disclaimer. Everything that we're talking about today is for educational purpose only. Also, remember that trading involves a high level of risk, may not be suitable for investors because you lose money. So you have to do your homework, do your due diligence before you start following someone. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. I have been doing this professionally for the last 17 years. I specialize in high velocity moves, whether I'm day trading, swing trading, or investing. I focus on the first two hours to 3 hours in the morning, and I day trade futures. I mainly focus on the futures indices. I also trade commodities full time, mostly for swing purposes, and especially that they have been incredibly volatile. I have focused more on the swing side. I also swing trade stocks, and I swing a lot of stocks. And I think that, you know, 2 to 3 years down the road right now, I'm only going to be swing trading and not day trading anymore. And that is because I really, you know, basically I like to call myself a part-time trader because I only trade in the morning. But guess what? With swing trading, you basically allocate about 10 minutes a day for your trading activity. So like I said, I've been doing this professionally for the last 17 years. Prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. And I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system. The reason I'm the designer is because I cannot take credit for reinventing the wheel. Technical analysis was there and it was around for a very long time. I just have added layers of support resistance to my analysis, and I'm using confluence levels. Confluence levels are levels where two or more support or resistance areas meet at the same location. So I focus on price support resistance, but if you're only focusing on price supply and demand, guess what? You're missing out 80% of the equation. That only represents 20%. I have 8 layers of price support resistance that I focus on. I also have developed through, and this is proprietary for my methodology because I have been a day trader for a very long time, I have determined and established that there are certain times when the market reacts, and especially in the morning. And if you have been trading and day trading, whether stocks or futures for a while, you probably have noticed that there are certain times in the market where the market reacts. Also, there are specific price zones throughout the charts. These specific price zones, they're 4 in number, they're exact, and these are institutional numbers where institutions look to leg in, scale in into trades, or scale out, and they're exactly their price points on charts. I also take into consideration chart synchronicity and divergency, and that is because I like to trade what is in play that day, what the institutions and where the institutions are trading. So for example, on a day like today, if you have been looking at the market, at the Qs or the SPYs, at the Dow and Russell, or if you are a futures trader and have been looking at the E-mini NASDAQ, E-mini Dow, or E-mini Russell, you have noticed, obviously, that you have relative strength in Russell and NASDAQ, where these two indices are leading, and then you have some relative weakness in the Dow. Dow currently down about 200 plus points. I also have a strict set of trading rules and a 10-point scoring system that enables myself and my traders to identify trades with ease. I've also developed this scoring system that enables us to specifically identify these high velocity moves. If you guys want to get a hold of us and read more about Trade Out Loud, you can head on to tradeoutloud.com. If you want to follow us on social media, our handle is Trade Out Loud. On Twitter, I do post because it's real time and there are more FinTwit users and select domain. I do post a lot of trading ideas before they happen. Check them out. You're going to be surprised. You can use my service as a free scanner and also generating new ideas. Also, you can find us on YouTube where you have a lot of videos, educational videos just like this, chart commentary and more. And let's jump into today's presentation. It's so packed, and today we're going to have two approaches towards commodities and towards anything that we're trading. So whatever you're trading, whether it's whether it is stocks or commodities, or whether you're trading ETFs or you're trading Forex or anything else, anything that you're trading is subject to technical analysis, fundamentals, and seasonality. Here today, we will talk about seasonality. I have prepared a presentation for you to educate you on the seasonality and what you can expect in the commodity market in season, especially when it comes to seasonality. I was mentioning before when I was filling out a void, a gap in time earlier throughout the trading, throughout today's presentations. And I was mentioning the fact that Amazon is actually into a declining seasonality. And that is the reason why it is not pushing whether higher or lower, because seasonally speaking, it should be retracing lower and the seasonality kicks in a little bit later. So today we will be talking about the seasonality aspect and also a little bit about the technical aspect. First off, what commodities are you going to trade? So when you're looking at the futures panel, these are the futures indices that you can trade with any broker. Definitely I'm not here to talk about the indices. These are my go-to day trade. So these are these four indices right here. I trade on a daily basis. I call these four indices my employees because they generate an income for myself. The rest of the panel that you see here, this is wealth generation. So I have my money, long-term money, working for me using these commodities right here. Whether you're trading energy, crude oil, whether it is Brent, RBOB, or heating oil, whether it's natural gas, whether you're trading softs like cocoa, cotton, orange juice, coffee, or lumber, these are seasonal. And by the way, lumber, again, you know, massive move. It tapped into the 500. We're going to talk a little bit about lumber right now. We did have a trade in lumber, a swing trade in lumber. Whether you're trading metals that are very hot and they're attracting a lot of traders and investors alike into trading these instruments. So metals like gold and silver, platinum and copper, palladium, or whether you want to go towards meat and you want to tap onto the market of live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs. And in fact, these are heavy seasonal items as well. Whether you want grains, soybeans, I was in trading soybeans. I closed it earlier today. I have my other chart right here. Just soybeans just made a new high of 1252.25. So we did have a trade in it. Soybean and soybean meal, they are trading pretty much in sync. Soybean oil as well. Corn also sees a seasonality growth around this time. Wheat has been pretty active lately. Rough rice, oats, and canola. And this is pretty much the big bulk of the commodities that I focus on. When I look at commodities, I also, and especially into the year end, I like to see what the performers are and what the laggers are. And you can see that throughout 2020, we had lumber that definitely just kicked it off the park right here with being the leader throughout the whole entire year, followed by the VIX. And no surprise that it is followed by the VIX. The year has been incredibly volatile and we have seen a lot of presence from hedgers into the VIX, and not only hedgers, but also a lot of traders that initiate trades in the VIX. NASDAQ following, and it's no surprise that NASDAQ silver had a fantastic performance. And you know that there are a lot of components in the Apple phone and especially in the phone industry that uses silver into their components. Then we had NASDAQ 100. With NASDAQ 100, there's no surprise. We had COVID and we saw a safe haven into NASDAQ stocks. We saw stocks that were soaring into NASDAQ. One of them, just an example, you know, like Amazon had like an unprecedented growth. We saw Apple, we saw Google that had, again, massive gains. We had semiconductors that are trading a lot higher. So we had a lot of stocks that were definitely a lot stronger than some other stocks into the mini S&P or even into the Dow. Canola, we saw a big jump in canola, and you can see here amongst the leaders, we have soybean meal, soybeans, and these two commodities right here just revved up towards the end of the year. We're going to show some charts very soon. We have copper. That copper was stagnant for a very long time, and finally, when it broke out massively. Technical pattern and seasonality kicked in, so whenever they work in zinc, they provide power to the move. So it was an incredible move in copper. And by the way, copper is pulling back, and I think that it may be getting ready. It's not ready right now, but it's just revisiting a 20 SMA onto a weekly chart. That is a very interesting location. A lot of traders or hedgers or investors are looking for that 20 SMA weekly to initiate new trades. I, however, like to look for a little bit more confirmation in the pattern before we get in, because we want to make sure that those institutions are really linked in before we jump in for that high velocity move. We need to have that confirmation. Natural gas as well had a really nice jump throughout the trading year. Gold, actually, you can see it here, not as powerful as silver, but also following along. Platinum also very strong. And as you can see here, orange juice, oats, I'm just going to skip through the indices right here, soybean, oil, corn, and then we have wheat. So these were the strongest commodities and a little bit of the indices we tapped on. So what is lagging this year? So energy sector was down. I don't know if next year is going to be the rotation into the energy sector. I heard some rumors, not rumors, but I was reading some articles that oil is down because there's a new strain in COVID. I'm just like, give me a break. So they're trying to find a reason why oil is up or down, or one of the energies is up or down. So basically, we're going to go back to seasonality. We're going to go leave the media out, and we're going to focus on the technical pattern. So heating oil is down, crude oil, Brent, WTI, and also RBOB. RBOB is gasoline, have been down, and you could see it here into the double digits. So we're going to jump into the seasonality of things. So seasonality and how it affects commodities. First of all, seasonality by itself does not make up a trading system. So you should not rely on seasonality and say, oh, okay, so if the seasonality shows me that, let's say copper is down and it's going to rotate, let's say at the end of December, I'm going to jump in. No, it doesn't work like that. You need some fundamentals behind, you need some more elements behind, you need the international context, the economic context. And then again, you look at China. If China's going to slow down, most likely that copper is not going to soar higher. So even if it's going to be into a seasonal buy. And then again, the technical pattern as well. So for example, don't buy crude oil futures just because cold weather is just around the corner, and the same with the natural gas. So seasonality cycles are helpful indicators that can be useful indicators in your trading toolbox, but don't use them just by themselves. Most commodities, as you know, they're subject to loss of demand and supply during the course of the year. So for example, for agricultural market supply is demand on the harvest, planting, weather conditions, and transportation systems. Demand is influenced by cyclical consumption, export patterns, and feed demand. Seasonality actually refers to a particular time frame, and whether you're trading stocks or sectors or indices or commodities. So they're not only subject to commodities. So oftentimes, a lot of traders say, hey, what commodities are subject to seasonality? Because wheat, harvest time, corn, and so on. They're more impacted by their seasonality, the droughts, the rains, the floods, etc. But no, it's not like that. So stocks as well are influenced by seasonality. So these are subject to and influenced by recurrent tendencies that produce patterns that are apparent in the investment valuation. So tendencies can range from one, weather events, like I mentioned before, temperatures in the winter versus summers, probability of inclement conditions, etc., or calendar events, quarterly reporting expectations, announcements, etc. The key is that the tendency is reoccurring and provides a sustainable profitability of performing in a manner consistent to various results. So let me give you some examples right here in regards to seasonality. So gold, for instance, between July and October sees its seasonal power and its seasonal peak oftentimes. Silver, it has three seasonalities. And as you can see, silver has been a little bit more bullish going towards the end of the year. And what I want to highlight here is that even if you're not a futures trader, I am, and I do like to trade the future is the contracts. But even if you're not into futures trading, you can trade them via ETFs, via ADRs, via any kind of correlation of ETF or anything, or even a gold stock for that matter. So gold has a really good correlation with GLD. They're synchronized. But if you're looking at a chart of GDX, for instance, which is an ETF, it's not going to be, it's not going to line up with how the chart of futures gold is lining up. So if you're looking to mimic the futures gold, which you have to do based on the price action, because when you want to refer to gold, you're not going to go like to ABX or a little stock that is trading. You want to go to the futures contract. So when you analyze the market, and you analyze the futures contract, you determine your levels, technical levels from which it trades, also match them with seasonality, and then you could go to GLD. GLD is a good reflection of the gold contract. Silver, it has seasonality from December 15 to February 21. So guess what? December 22 right now, and it's holding a little bit better than gold. Also, it has a tendency to rip up higher into August 4th. And like I said, now it's getting ready, possibly, let's see how it will habitable trade, taking into consideration that we're going into the holiday right now. You know, it might be a little bit lower in volume, but that's the tendency from December 15 to February 21. And these are, again, approximate dates. It's not that on December 15, if it has the seasonality, and if the, let's say, the seasonality says that it starts on December 15, don't buy it on December 15th. So you wait for a technical pattern. In most of the commodities, I focus more on higher time frames. So my trades are based off weekly charts and monthly charts. And that is because when they start rolling and they start roaring, whether to the upside or to the downside, they really deliver. Copper, seasonal copper, again, matches silver. So we're probably going to see a tendency for copper to rotate to the upside between December 15 and April 19th. Palladium, I cannot tell you that I really traded maybe once in a blue moon, once in a couple of years or several years. It's not my go-to commodity. Crude oil, I watch on an absolute daily basis, and I watch it on a smaller time frame. I watch smaller time frame charts, larger time frame charts as well. Seasonality, February 12th to May 21st and June 21st to August 20th. And that's the seasonal, kind of like the seasonality peak. But you guys know what happened in March. So oil went negative. And again, now you can see that it is balancing. Also, natural gas, seasonality in natural gas is coming obviously before winter. So you can see a much more, obvious draining activity between September 4th and October 30th, and then you're pretty much going to see more of a sideways range. And then it picks up again, actually, that has the tendency to pick up just a little bit in January before it fades out, and then it enters the seasonality again in March. Live cattle, soybeans, like I said, you know, and with soybeans, I'm going to share with you some charts in a few moments, and I'm going to show you that actually soybeans have had a really fantastic setup. And guess what? The breakout came exactly on December 15th. So I'm going to show you just very quickly right here. Just give me a heads up if you guys can see the chart right now. Just please type a one in the chat box if you can see it. So, all right. So I can show you. All right. So you can see here when it popped up on December 14th. Okay. So December 14th, it actually, the trigger came from the daily chart. Okay. From the daily chart, take a look when the power move occurred on December 15th. So again, when you have this perfect synchronicity, it is incredible because you're having the technical pattern combined with the seasonality pattern, it's just producing this really big boom. And of course, you know, presentation today is more geared towards commodities, but yes, you do have seasonality in all industries, whether it's agriculture, airlines, autos, banks. Yes, banks have seasonal trends, and biotech, chemicals, gas, utilities, home building, household goods, gold and mining, obviously gold and mining, oil services, pharmaceuticals, etc., retail. So there are seasonal trends in everything, and every single stock is going to go through these cyclical seasonality trends. Like I said, like I mentioned with Amazon earlier today. Also major indices. So if you're looking for Russell, Russell has a tendency to overperform into the end of the year, and it's very common. Something that is overperforming into the end of the year are broker dealers. So this is part not only of seasonality, but it kicks in as part of the window dressing effect. Emerging markets volatility index. So yeah, VIX is subject to the tendency as well. And one of the reasons for VIX volatility, you can see it right here, July 3rd through October 9th, is because a lot of hedge funds, a lot of individuals go on their summer vacation, and guess what? They're putting on some hedges into their trades. So if they have a plethora of long positions, they take some VIX weather calls, or whether they take some VXX for the duration of the summer. So that's very natural. Treasury bonds and the US dollar, of course. Sectors also have seasonalities. Energy sector, and they match all of the commodities and all of the stocks as well. So the energy sector as well sees seasonality, materials, industrials, consumer discretionary, healthcare, technology, utilities, etc. So I'm going to go one by one over these seasonalities, and we're going to go through charts, and I'm going to show you exactly examples of how the seasonality works on the technical chart and what you need to look for when it comes to a technical pattern. Corn seasonality can be split into three recurring periods. The first one starting late spring to midsummer, the second one covering midsummer to harvest, and the third one relating to the period right after the crop has been harvested. The most striking characteristic here is a trend for corn to see a decline in prices from midsummer going into harvest period. So usually prices tend to be near their highs in July due to factors relating to the old crop and uncertainty over the new crop harvest. Even in some years when the price decline starts earlier, it tends to continue after mid-July period if the crop harvest forecast is good. Harvest increases increases current supply, which puts downward pressure on price reaching their lowest levels of the crop year. Prices will then recover after the harvest. Although the February break may mean that corn prices display some weakness in February. So typically in February you are going to see some kind of a range formation or a pullback. Here's a representation. So I have multiple charts right here. I also have seasonal charts. This is a chart so you can see pre-COVID how the corn market was lining up for in 2018. So this is the February break for higher. You can see the pullback. You can see the rotation for higher. This is the early highs in June versus July. So we had a little bit earlier. So they are oscillating right in between these periods, depending on the year, depending on the harvest, depending on El Nino or El Nina. So all these are influential factors. And then you have the decline going into harvest. This is very typical. So you're getting a decline in harvest because nobody knows, how the harvest is going to turn out. And then you're getting the range bound action. And typically as you're going into February, you're expecting, guess what? Another February breakout. Okay. You can see it right here. It's set up for a February breakout. By the way, this gap is created right here by the contract roll and the contract roll higher. And you can see the breakout right here that was pending. So sometimes, these indices are not doing much going into that February, but it tends to push higher. Now let's take a look at the technical aspect of it. And this is the 2020 year that we have here. This is a full cycle from December last year to December this year. So as you can see here, the February created a peak, and then we have the pullback right into spring. And one thing that I noticed here is that corn was relatively, flat for the rest. So we didn't really do a seasonal, even though it had the July highs, right? Here we had the June highs. Here we had the seasonal July highs for the trade for this year. And then when the pullback came, it revisited a prior low. So how awesome is this that we can actually combine the technical analysis with seasonality to have a higher return on our trades, because the more informed we are, the better we are going to perform. So we have a double bottom here and a double bottom with a rotation, and we actually have a really big infusion of volume that came in towards the mid to end of August that actually created this massive rally. So these are two ways in which you can trade it right here. You either buy the second bottom on any kind of technical rotation. I never buy off the board. So I buy confirmation with rotation confirmation over the prior highs. So the entry would be definitely just below the 320 spot, confirming that the price may deliver higher prices. And then again, your targets are going to be set into the prior resistance that creates into prior support spots that now creates create resistance. Now, once you have let's say a coil around these spots right here that are called, and this is an area called minor resistance. This minor resistance, and we're circling back at the beginning of the presentation when I mentioned that there are 8 layers of price support resistance. And you're gonna go like light bulb, yes, because there's not only major price support resistance, only supply and demand. In an ongoing trending market, every single time an asset is going to break above a prior support spot, that spot will become the floor for the future move. And that is going to reinforce the directional bias. So therefore, you're not going to get caught on the wrong side of the trade, because if you're getting the congestion and the punch higher, obviously this area right here will become a massive area of support. Resistance right now, you had a periscope high. It pulled back. It just blasted higher. And then this is the next confirmation. I like to get in just before the breakout, and I take it at the breakout spot, put my stop below the low and let it go higher. Or if you're a more conservative trader, you wait for the retest. Retests are usually provide you with much better risk to reward ratio. And oftentimes you get tighter stops in those. And then you have the price rotating off a minor support spot, confirming the directional bias. So you're now confirmed that you have more than 85 to 95% chances of your price continuing higher. So how awesome is that? That you have technicals that can point out with a high percentage in your directional bias, for your directional bias. I mean, it's incredible. And then you're going to look for targets into the prior resistance spots. And of course, at this point, if let's say the asset is making or the commodity is making new highs or all-time highs, you're going to be using projections. So once again, here, this is the proof that once we made a new high, we pulled back into the area of minor support, rotated, and continue higher. And in fact, this chart I printed out, I posted out last night. All right, here's another chart seasonality that you can expect. Excuse me. And this reinforces the directional bias and the fact that we need to be long corn. Now, again, one of the things that is in the futures trader's advantage is that you actually have a low margin requirement to buy contract of corn or any kind of commodity. Excuse me, I just got to get some water. All right, sorry about that. Okay, so this is the technical chart. So you can see here that October created the low. And since then, notice the prior resistance high right here that now becomes support for current price action. So this is the retest. So there's no need for anyone to guess the bottoms or to say, hey, I'm going to buy it off the bottom and this is going to be it. I'm going to take out a quarter. I'm going to start scaling it. No. Trading, and especially, you know, technical trading has to come with confirmation. So if you're really reluctant on buying off the lows, remember that you can always wait for the retest. You can do the rotation right here. So this is going to be your entry. All right, soybeans, right? Soybeans are now really hot. Everybody's talking about soybeans, but if you would ask anybody, you know, a few months ago, or if you would have asked anyone about commodities a year ago, nobody would be talking about them. But now that they're, you know, running higher, everybody's going to say, oh yeah, I was in soybeans. Of course I was in soybeans, you know? All right. So always after the fact. So I'm here to tell you that, you know, soybeans, the July, June, and August months are usually weak months of soybean for the soybeans, whether it's oil or it's beans or whatever it is, a meal, etc. So closing prices in the last week of July are typically lower than those of the previous week. So likewise, closing prices near the end of August also tend to be lower than those at the end of July. On the other hand, soybean prices late January tend to be higher than those in late December. So soybeans are subject to February phenomenon, where prices may just display weakness during the month. Soybean meal, soybean oil follow the same seasonal characteristics of soybean. So this is a technical chart. You can see it here. This is right here. We have the 2020. This is the February break. These are January prices that are usually higher than December. You can see it right here. And then you're having the seasonal break right here. And this is the regular chop as we're going into harvest. So June, July, and August weakness decline into the harvest. rest, okay? And then they're starting to pick up. Demand is picking up right here. This is where they're trading right now. So this is the seasonality. So it's not only that it happened this year, but it happens pretty much every single year. Whether the demand is higher than the prior year, that may be the case. And in fact, in some cases, they rise in price a little bit more than on other, and other times they rise, but they rise a bit less. But definitely the seasonality, you can see it here from October. We're going to be looking long soybean. All right, let's talk about wheat. So for a speculator who is on the long side, cycles here were best from the period of harvest lows to October and November. The winter into summer harvest period tend to display weakness in price. So remember, the tendency is for the winter. And there's a strong inclination for wheat prices to decline during the last weeks of winter as spring harvest is coming super close. The other tendency is for the prices to rise from harvest lows into the fall to early winter period. Wheat prices start cyclical wheat periods by January or February, and that is in most years because no 2 years are the same. Here's a chart from 2018 to 2019. So I want to show you this chart first, then we're going to go to 2020. So as you can see here, wheat, okay, this is the tendency to see weaker prices. So the price is having a really hard time pushing higher. And then in September, this is usually the start of the bullish cycle. But because of the environment, this is the support setting the harvest lows. Now, here is the 2020 chart. And this is these are the prices. Okay, here it is. I want you to see the writing. Prices to rise from the harvest lows into the fall or early winter period. And you can see here that we have a low right here. And we have a higher low right here. So once you see the higher low, this is the second confirmation. This is actually not the second confirmation, but this is the confirmation that yes, this is the area right here at 500 where you need it to be long. The stop goes below this spot right here. And this is a sweet, this is a seasonal trend that is going higher. Okay. Here's an example of wheat futures. And as you can see, the price is rising, starting with, so see the choppiness that we have here through August, September, October. We have a little bit of more of a pullback typically here in November, and then they're continuing higher. Now, of course, there are other commodities. I'm going to talk a little bit about live cattle and also feeder cattle. And of course, they're all subject to seasonality. So cycles and feeder cattle are depending on seasonality factors relating to live cattle prices, as well as annual variations in feeder cattle supplies. So feeder cow prices usually display strength from late winter all through the spring. So they drop during the summer to adjust to a lower level in the fall, right before moving back up again in December. So live cattle prices tend to trend higher in January through May. So within that winter to spring period, and usually reaching a seasonal peak in May, and then the prices retrace back until the end of the year. So the May seasonal peak corresponds to the peak for feeder cattle in May with prices falling into July. So how does it look on charts? Well, here it is. Winter weakness. You can see a display right here. It's going all the way into April, right? And into April, rotation kicks in. And this is the spring rotation, right? Spring rotation, prices are going higher. This is a seasonal peak that usually occurs in May. Here it is. And then depending on the chart pattern and the climate conditions and also, you know, the supply and demand and everything that is computed into this equation for the commodities, because commodities are a little bit more rich to trade and you have to have a little bit more information, but they pay off more than anything else. And they're very easy trades. You set them and forget them, and you forget you have them in your portfolio. You know when to check up on them. So here is the spring rotation, like I said. And from this point on, once you have the confirmation of a higher low, there you have it. This is going to go. This is going to go higher, even though this is not your typical rally for the summer. Okay. So this is feeder cattle right now in 2020, and you can see here the decline, right, that we talked about. Decline, right, right. To spring. Remember the April, here it is, spring rotation. Here it is. Here's the spring rotation happening right now with the big gap in price because everybody's expecting the feeder cattle prices to be up around this time of year, end of April, going into May. Sideways peak higher, and you can see the sideways right here, pull back into the month of October, mid-October, and then here's where we are right now. And actually, this candle was from yesterday. We break above 145, we're going to head on higher to 150, and over 150, we have a tradable void to about 200. $100. Lean hogs, cyclical marketing pressure tends to increase in March, persisting with increased levels through April. This is because August and September following tends to be larger compared to other following months. Slaughter levels also decline seasonally from March to April and to July or August. And for this reason, prices can be expected to soar from March to May and then drop again from May to August. Okay. So here are, some seasonal trends. These are from 2018 going into 2019. You can see the seasonal trends right here. So I wanted to show you some multi-year developments so you can understand the concept and the cycle of the commodities markets. So this is the May and the June peak. March to May prices move up, and you can see that they move up, and prices move up November through December. And here it is, ready for the breakout over 65. Now, where are we at right now? This is December. You can see it right here. So what are the prices doing in December? If you guys have paid attention, you can expect a breakout. So the prices have been stabilizing between $65 and $70. But right here, they're forming a really nice congestion, and also into the weekly charts, they're setting up for a buy for a rotation that may take the price. This may be an aggressive buy over 67. Stop, may go below these lows right here, or even into 60. Targets into 70, 73, 75. And from that point on, from 75, they may move to 78 to 80. Cocoa. The cyclical low tends to correspond with Bahia, Brazil, main crop, and happens in January as opposed to May or June for the temporal that is in Brazil, the crop due to consumer demand. Demand usually rises late into late fall and start of winter, which puts an upward pressure on prices during this period of time. As demand starts to fall, guess what? Cocoa prices start to fall into January. So however, it is really important to note that cyclical factors are not strong in cocoa, and cocoa goes more by technical pattern. So you can see these oscillations. This is happening, and this is right here. This is the 2020 chart, and we're getting ready to punch higher. So always evaluate. You can see there's a lot of sideways price action. I don't typically trade cocoa or oranges or anything like that. I like to focus more on other commodities than others. And don't forget that these do not represent good trading materials if you're a day trader. These are definitely good trading materials if you're a swing trader, especially those ones that are a little bit thinner. But there's one interesting pattern that I see here, is that we have created a low in 2020 in July. And since then, we have pulled back into November, and we have created another higher low right here. I haven't checked the prices in cocoa today, but these were the charts from yesterday. If we punch out through 2600, the price will rise and is likely to continue to 2700 and 2800. Coffee. Brazil experiences the frost season during May to early August period. Coffee prices generally rise from January to June in expectation of this. So this seasonality is not really very strong, as coffee is also produced in other countries, right? Like Mexico. The other cyclical influence happens during the winter, when coffee consumption in the United States tends to increase, and not only the United States, but worldwide. So this is a chart of coffee right here. And you can see here that this is the Brazil frost season, and what produced here, especially in 2018, the massive decline in coffee. And then again here, this is the continuation of frosty season right here. And then the prices soar. So setting for a breakout, seasonal break right here, which we had it. Cotton. So this is a heavy traded market with cyclicals depending on deliveries issued against expiration of futures contracts. So remember that the expiration of the futures contracts are December, March, May, July, right there on a 3-month period, to a lesser extent in October. November usually sees the cotton market recovering from harvest low, and in January, the market retraces back to lower levels. Okay. So you can see here, and the chart is completely a lot of damage into the chart, not tradable at this point. Occasionally, you're going to have some really good setups going into this commodity. And you can see the commodity right here soaring. This is an image that I took last night. And after reporting a new high, you can see here we had a little doji decision and we came back. I'm expecting the price to pull back into the 72 to 73 levels, from which it may regain the uptrend. Orange juice, and this is again a commodity that a lot of traders like to look at, and funds like to look at. So this seasonal price fluctuation of orange juice concentrated of frozen concentrated orange juice do not usually follow the December to February freeze period in the southern part of the United States. Cyclical factors are a function of the harvest. So production and demand, with the most significant seasonal moves in orange juice, beginning that prices tend to fall November to January. So this is the time when they start retracing. The freeze period shouldn't, however, be totally ignored in this aspect as well. So cold temperatures, as you can see here, make the prices to fall. And also, I'm going to show you a chart that is very interesting right now. Look at the demand of orange juice that increased with COVID. Okay, look at the demand right here, because everywhere you would go, and every outlet that you would go to, you would say, okay, drink a lot of orange juice, you know, take vitamin C, and take some zinc, right? So you can see the demand that increased in orange juice. And this is where orange juice is right now. It's actually getting ready for a breakout. It just created a new higher low. You can see the low, higher low, higher low. So this could be an A, B, C, D formation with a pullback for a potential buy into this spot, into the 8.19 to 8.20. Sugar prices tend to reach a high in November due to supply and demand factors. And production at this time is still underway, since Europe crop has not reached the market. So however, demand in the Northern Hemisphere reaches its peak into fall. This is the chart 2018 to 19. So you can see the fall uptrend, and you can see the fall uptrend 2020. So again, over $15, kind of be hovering and coiling into the $15. Danny, you know what? I don't think people, of course, there are, you know, novice traders that trade against seasonal tendencies. But what happens is they take profits off of this area, or you can even short, okay? Because you know the seasonal tendency. So indices, let's talk a little bit about indices here, because I know a lot of you guys may not be into commodities 100%. So I'm here to talk a little bit about indices. There are bullish indices from November 1st to April 30th. So for 6 months duration, they're usually bullish, right? And they covered the Santa rally, the window dressing, the January effect. And as we're going higher, also very bullish years that are outside of the seasonality that also create a more emphasis into seasonality are pre-election years and election years. So we went full throttle into our program. I usually don't take more than, I don't know, 3 to 5 trades, let's say swing trades per week into stocks. This year has been totally different. It started on a regular base, January, February, and as we went into March, especially in March volatility, I only had like 4 trades into March, but I had a phenomenal outcome. We traded Zoom in March, and we had some really fantastic trades in March. And then starting with April, I began being extremely aggressive as the Fed was pushing money into the market. It was a great buying opportunity. This has been by far my best year yet, like literally my best year yet in profit. So we do have these bullish tendencies that occur, and it's great to remember. If you don't remember, just mark it on your calendar so you know seasonality in indices. And that means the Qs, the SPYs, the diamonds, or the SPX if you're doing options, or whether you're trading indices. Okay. And this is the SPX right here. This is an older chart, 2018 to 2019. And you can see the tendencies here. November was trying to hold. November didn't hold. November is usually the start of a power trend for higher. Not here. 2018 was a special year. There were some events that happened, technical events that happened behind the scenes. That's the reason why we had the wild volatility. But guess what? You see this green bar where I'm holding my cursor right here? Do you know what the date when this happened, when this rotation happened? December 26th. But don't tell anyone. That's part of the Santa rally and the best kept secret. And you could see how that was the continuation for higher going even into February. So that could be the start of a massive trend for higher. All right. And this is the volatility from 2018 and the end of 2018. This chart is 2020 going into June. So you can see that this is the pandemic and the rotation thereafter. And this is actually year to date, the from January 2020 all the way into December. You can see it right here. Massive minor support spot. And this is a gorgeous minor support area that we have into the market that is poised for a continuation higher. So this is the area right here when resistance right now becomes support for current price action. If we get a rotation, so any kind of technical rotation that is, and by the way, this is a daily chart. Any kind, and by the way, we did get a little punch in the overnight trading session because we the S&P created just a brand new fresh all-time high early last night, and then it just fizzled out a little bit. So today, I'm not surprised by the price action today because there are not a lot of traders that will be at their desk trading. Everybody wants to, you know, do their Christmas shopping, get into the holiday mood, and that's why we're really winding down into our services and into our education. We just wrapped up a 6-day course yesterday, and today was the last day in the trading room for our traders, for day traders. The swing program is still active, obviously, and we still need to trail along. But again, we're really winding down. So if this is going to go higher from here, again, we do have projections for higher. If you guys were around earlier today, I showed you exactly the areas where we are expecting the price to follow through. Well, we cannot end the discussion today without talking a little bit about gold futures and silver futures. And from what you saw on the technical chart in this presentation right at the beginning, silver is actually leading gold right now. So gold is kind of like sideways, and it's really, you know, kind of choppy just because it's right before the holidays. And like I said, you know, there's not a lot of volume in the market right now. Volume is extremely low. For that matter, you know, starting with actually this week, we should see seasonal higher prices into gold and into futures as well. By the way, I mentioned that if, you know, gold futures is too rich for your account, you can go to GLD. That is a good representation. Or if you're trading silver, and if silver is a bit too hefty for you, because let's face it, a lot of traders don't have a big account to trade this, but you can actually go into SLV. SLV is a really good representation of silver futures, and you can trade the SLV, which is much lower in price. Before I end up this presentation, I know we talked a lot about seasonality. Not a lot of traders talk a lot about seasonality, of the impact of seasonality into technical patterns. And I'm here to tell you that seasonality is not a strategy by itself, but you should consider the technicals and the anatomy of the trade. The entries, the stops, the targets, risk and risk to reward especially should be considered. Of course, position sizing. Position sizing is not something that you take lightly, and especially in the futures market, there's this misconception that if you have amount in your account, it gives you the right to trade a contract or 3 or 5 or 10. So make sure that you position size. So position sizing is determined very easily. You need to have your entry price. You need to have your stop price. You need to have the difference between the entry and the stop, the number of points between the entry and the stop, or the number of cents or dollars if you're doing stocks. And then that number will represent your risk. And then you know how many shares or how many contracts you can accommodate based upon your allocated risk amount per day. Every trader, whether you're day trading or swing trade, should have an allocated amount per day. I advise my traders, especially if you're at the beginning of your trading career, never risk more than 1-2% on a trade from your account. And that means that you know exactly when your entry, your stop is. During this presentation, I talked about rotations. I talked about rotations are, you know, buy setups or buy pockets or sell pockets, sell setups. And these are really easy to determine in technical patterns. So when entering a trade, you have to consider in day trades, obviously the trend. I never go against the trend. I always trade with the trend. And that's why, you know, my account is growing every year. I consider the timing, especially if you're day trading. There are certain times throughout the day where you initiate trades and they are they have a more optimum pattern to continue higher. And you also consider the location. Remember, it's all about real estate. Where is the stock or index or commodity or whatever you're trading located at? Is it into support? Is it into resistance, etc.? So the second element for swing trading or for investors, obviously you can take the trade at any time as long as it triggers, right? Because you need to have that trigger rotation happen. If you don't have that, then you don't have a trade. It's easy. You have a pattern, you have a trade. You don't have a pattern, you don't take a trade. I don't understand traders that say, hey, I got in too early. I mean, can't you read a candlestick? It's not hard. You go online, you have dozens, literally, of candlestick patterns that show exactly where you need to enter, where you need to place the stop. So there's no such thing. So if you see that pattern, you enter the trade. You don't see the pattern, you don't enter the trade, okay? Or if you want to become a liquidity provider, go right ahead. We teach you in Trade Life every single day a very highly successful system that follows institutional money that enable us to profit from momentum moves and high velocity moves at specific locations, timing, precise technical patterns, like I said before, and seasonality. Our method overrides any kind of news event. And by the way, news events are just brief interruptions into the trend. They're dramas, technical dramas that are created by algorithms. We beat up any indicator, earnings, or dark pools. This is the institutional way of trading. If you guys want to trade with us in 2020, you can learn how to trade with us. You can learn how to trade with us. We do have classes that provide education if you want to learn how to swing trade or invest into stocks, ETFs, or even futures. For futures, we have a day trading course and a swing trading course. We just wrapped that course up. If you guys are interested in the class, we just wrapped that one as well. And we have open enrollment for the January 25th to 29th class. It's a 5-day course if you're interested on that. And if you're interested into our services, we do have a futures live trading room. I run the room. I call all the trades. They're very transparent. We do provide a screen share, and the screen share is exactly like you can see it right here. There are different levels on the charts. You can see it here. It's bullish above. So we know that from this point on, we're going to look bullish. Off of this point on, we're going to be looking bullish. And by the way, these levels are traced before the market open. In the course, we teach you how to trace these levels. These are institutional levels, and you can see the efficiency and the reaction off of these levels. You can see it right here. So once we knew that if there's going to be a technical rotation off of this area, this is going to be first resistance, this is going to be the second resistance. And we focus just on the first 2 hours in the morning. The trading room is 100% guided. All you have to do is just close your eyes and do your position sizing. We even provide you with a bonus. And that bonus represents a free class, a free video class on how to position size. So it teaches you all that from A to Z. It is recorded. It's about 1 hour. So it's 100% guided trading. I provide the entry. I provide the stop. I provide the target. And I provide the management for the trade. It's nothing that, it's literally unheard of. Very clean, very clear. So if you want to find out more details about it, you can visit our website. It is tradeoutloud.com. It is under services. And we do have the trading room explanation. We do have a track record as well. At the very bottom of the page right here. So you can tap into this and you can see all the trades that we have traded throughout the 2020. Not only that, you see the trades from 2019, you see the trades from 2018, you see the trades from 2017. Every trade is documented here, and all the trades were timestamped in the trading room. They're verifiable. These are verifiable trades. They were timestamped and posted in the trading room before they triggered, and then they are posted into this performance sheet. And also we have the stock swing trader, massive profits. This has been by far the best year yet. We have members that have started with us trading this year and have had incredible growth. They have entered the 7-figure club this year, and we couldn't be any prouder. The environment was very favorable for stock trading. So this is a for the part-time trader. This is a very simple program. On Sunday, you receive an email with all the major events for the week. You receive a video with the market conditions. You also receive the explanation for the futures trades that we're looking at with the exact parameters. And we are also going to receive an analysis of the priorities that we have and the current actions that we're going to do. And also, if this is a brief explanation right here, and if you want to go to our performance, you can click here. At the end of this month, we will post the trades that we have executed in December. We still have a lot of trades that are open from November and also from December. One of our biggest trades this year is Peloton. We have Zoom as well. There have been massive profits. So again, here you have the education page. You have the service page right here. You can view some of the reviews. If you go to our Trustpilot, you can see right here, we have excellent review and we do have 5-star reviews throughout. So you can check them out as well from our verified members. These are members that have been in our room. And just for an example, we also have private Twitter feeds for our futures program and for our swing program. So you're not left behind. You are going to receive updates of what's happening throughout the day. You can see it here, Microsoft new highs. This is a massive trade that we are in as well. You can see Apple just fantastic, blasting higher. We will trade based on price action. So all these details are coming to you real time. So even if you have a full-time job, you can access them. All right, guys, this is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate everything and hope to see you guys back here with Trade Out Loud on January 4th. Thank you, David.